Home is where the heart is.
Or so the saying goes.
Home is a place of safety and rest.
Home is a place for peace.
A space where we can be our truest selves.
We renovate old homes to make them new.
We build dream homes so we can live in comfort and at ease.
We search cities, neighborhoods to find a place to rent or buy.
We search cities and neighborhoods for a safe place to live with the people that we love.
Home is where the heart is.
And today, on the first day of Advent, we remember that God came to dwell among us.
To make a home with us.
And this gives us great reason to hope.
Home is where God's heart is.
And God's heart is always with us.
The story of this hope is thousands of years old.
We live in a day where that hope is a reality.
However, the home is not a place of hope, safety, or peace for so many.
Ever since God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day to fellowship in the garden,
the dream home that God designed for us has been attacked.
And it was our sin and disobedience that seemed to dash all the hopes of home forever.
Sin brought enmity, strife, and discord.
Between spouses and siblings.
Families and neighbors.
Ever since man's first disobedience,
we wrecked the home that God gave.
But God sent his son Jesus into the world to salvage our hope and to make a home again for all who believe.
As Jesus lived his life on earth,
as he revealed the Father,
and as he went on the cross to defeat sin and death,
he restored the hope of humanity.
Jesus promised us that if anyone loves me, he will obey my word.
And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and take up residence with him.
And so on the first night of his life on earth, among the cattle and the sheep,
among the bales of hay and the barnyard smells,
at the manger, Mary and Joseph had a home.
For Christ, the Savior of the world, was present with them.
Wherever Jesus is, the Father is with him and establishes a home.
Today, as we light the candle of hope, we remember that our true home is not in a building.
We remember that our true home is not a space with a roof and four walls.
Our home is with Christ in God.
As we prepare our hearts for Christmas, we remember our true home.
Today, we come to the manger to experience true hope.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to worship on this first day of Advent. In the Christian Church, many liturgical denominations follow an annual cycle of special days and seasons throughout the year. For example, Remembrance Day, that we commemorated here 3 weeks ago, and seasons like Lent, Easter, and Pentecost. In last week's service, you would have heard reference to our celebration of the reign of Christ. This week, we begin the season of Advent. This is actually the beginning of the church calendar year. It is a season full of rich symbolism that can help transport us into a time of profound worship and spiritual transformation. Advent refers to the 4 weeks prior to Christmas Day. It is a season of anticipation, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, the one who saves. That is that we anticipate and get ready to celebrate his birthday at Christmas and also look forward to his coming again. Advent is also a time to prepare our hearts and lives to receive him in. Hopefully, you're thinking of some familiar Christmas carols about now. Colours play a big part in the liturgical year, and this week you'll see the antependium that hangs on the front of the pulpit, as well as Diane's stole has changed to blue, symbolising hope. You'll see we've brought out the Advent wreath this week. Three of these candles are purple, the colour that represents repentance and preparation. One is rose-coloured, for the Sunday we focus on the joy we find in Christ. Each candle represents one of the Sundays in Lent, and the Christ candle sits in the middle, waiting to be relit when we gather to celebrate the birth of Christ on Christmas Eve. We light a new candle each week as we focus on one of the fundamental Christian doctrines. You'll hear in the candle lighting song that we'll sing next, and throughout the various components of each service in Advent, Christian views of hope, peace, joy, and love. The Advent season can feel quite countercultural to the frivolity and joy of our secular society. Yet, there is a mysterious and profound beauty to it as well. It is my hope and prayer that you will seek and find something poignant and meaningful in the liturgy as we await the Holy Child this Advent season. Would you join me in the call to worship? Your promise dawns upon us, living God. We wait expectantly. Your hope arises among us, living God. We wait confidently. Your cherished one appears for us, living God. We wait in joy. Friends, please pray with me. Trustworthy God, yesterday and today, persistently, your people carve out the path of peace born of justice. No strangers to violence, speaking their message in tones of increasing urgency. Violence within homes and on our streets. Violence to earth. Violence of injustice, born of prejudice and privilege. Our world is hurting, crying out for justice and peace. Advent is a journey down through the centuries of people seeking for God to come in flesh into their lives, to guide us in the ways of reconciliation with each other and with creation. Plant your seeds of justice, peace, love and hope in our hearts so that we may be witnesses of your life and the fruits of these seeds, your sacred assurance, may be visible to the world. Amen. Please pray the prayer of confession with me. Merciful God, always with us, always coming, we confess that we do not know how to prepare for your advent. We have forgotten how to hope in miracles. We have ignored the promise of your kingdom. We get distracted by all the busyness of this season. Forgive us, God. Grant us the simple wonder of the shepherds, the intelligent courage of the Magi, and the patient faith of Mary and Joseph, that we may journey with them to Bethlehem and find the good news of a child born for us. Now, in the quiet of our hearts, We ask you to make us ready for his coming. Amen.
In the letter to the Hebrews, God has promised, "For I will forgive their sins and will remember them no more." Dear friends, God does not remember our sins, but he most certainly remembers the promises he has made to us. God does not shame us, but rather lifts us to new life and freedom. This is the good news that is ours, thanks to Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen. I'd like to introduce Kevin Nicholson. Kevin sits on our board, and he is the elder who oversees all of the ministries that fall under the service team. So that's things like community meals, the coldest night of the year, all of the ministries and work we do trying to get resources and things in the hands of people who need them. And as we're going to talk about in a little bit, the annual Christmas hamper program. So welcome, Kevin. Thanks for coming to talk to us.
Thanks, Dara.
Can you tell us, Kevin, a little bit about what FRA does and who they help?
Yeah, FRA, now known as Sources, as you pointed out, is an important member of our community, providing advocacy, referrals, workshops in a number of areas, including child and youth with special needs services, child development services, family services, clinical services, youth services, violence prevention services, I found that interesting, and police-based victim services. And they have a strong presence with a key worker from fetal alcohol syndrome diagnoses.
Wow.
And that is, without going into great details, all the other clinical issues that they help out with.
They do a lot.
They do.
My gosh.
Yes.
Okay. You've had some personal experience you shared with me with an organization like Family Resources in another community where you live, didn't you?
Right. I am a stepfather, a very fortunate stepfather, from my second marriage. She has a young boy. He's an adult now. He was 4 when I met him, and his mom and I got married when he was 5. So I had the privilege of helping him out entering school, the public school services.
Right.
He had autism with across the spectrum, Asperger's, the autism, high level, and Tourette's sprinkled in there.
Okay.
So it was a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
You can picture not putting down school boards or anything like that, but everybody wanted to medicate him.
Right.
And we wanted to avoid that as
right.
much as possible.
Right.
There was the reality of it in that we might have to break down a little once in a while and to help him along.
Yeah.
But nothing serious.
Yeah.
Of course, I had to learn a whole bunch of things. And so Catholic Charities in Vancouver proper connected me with some folks in New Westminster, where we were living at the time, for workshops and the likes.
Mm.
And then we moved to the Kamloops. the boy started school. There was further support from a Family Resources Association there.
Mm.
And yeah, kudos to them.
I mean,
I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have the understanding today to actually address another experience I recently had with this organization. Last 3 years I've been here on the island, I had the privilege of providing respite for a mother who has 2 autistic boys.
Right.
They're adult boys now. Eh?
Yeah.
And her love for horses and my love for horses, and they learned how to love horses, just blossom into something that was proud to witness. And couple Christmases I was there when they received the family Christmas hamper from the organization here in Qualicum.
Lovely.
And the joy and comfort that they got receiving that was just overwhelming.
And how special for you to see the receiver and the receiving,
hey? Yes, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
How cool. Oh, that's awesome. Today we want to let people know that we're doing the Christmas hamper program again, that it is continuing, but it's been adjusted slightly from the way we used to do it before the pandemic. Can you tell us a little bit about how it's working now, Kevin?
Yeah. The pre-pandemic saw St. Stephen's purchasing assembly hampers via donations from the congregation community and, of course, volunteers from both the congregation and the community.
Mm-hmm.
This is our second season pandemic.
Yeah.
I like to say pandemically challenged we were and still are. Mm. And donations have been collected and presented in a lump sum gift form.
Okay.
Last year it was, if I'm getting ahead of myself, that's okay. Last year it was $50 gift certificates.
Right.
We presented to FRA. And I hope to see that again.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Kevin, how can people help? How can they give?
Yeah, well, hopefully this information will come up on the screen or in a bulletin for everybody.
Yep.
But cash or check payable to St. Stephen's with the memo penned in hamper program.
Okay.
Or directly via mail, payable to sources, which the online, you can go to online where Sources offers an online option for donation.
Right.
And all that information that you would need to write out a check to and the likes.
Right.
And it's worth a look. It's quite interesting. It's all the lower mainland. BC is represented on there pretty well. And the island is too. Go down to Qualicum and you'll see Say Island and everything that they have offering there. There's Koodles information there.
Great. Great. Good.
Oh, and December 6th is the deadline, right?
Yes. So just to recap, December 6th is the deadline for giving to support the hamper program. This year we're giving by giving the funds for FRA to be able to purchase the hampers. And you can give to us or you can give directly to sources. And all of the information about that is in your emailed announcements or available through the church office. Kevin, thank you for the work you do.
Well, you know, it's going to be a lot more and the likes, and hopefully it'll be an ongoing thing, pandemic-wise or not. I mean, every little bit helps, and some of us might even know a family in need,
mm-hmm.
But you have no physical way of helping them out, especially during the pandemic. I mean, it's an effort to go out and do some shopping nowadays and stuff like that.
For sure.
So this is one wonderful way to share your understanding and supportive caring for those in our family community.
Good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're a blessing to us.
Thank you kindly.
Take care.
The Book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. And I am reading from the English Standard Version. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have you noticed that with the arrival of cell phones and email and messaging and the like, we seem to have picked up some new ways of communicating over the last few years? We now have the ability to send messages instantly through these new technologies. And along with that ability, we seem to have adopted a new, quick, and rather casual style of writing those messages. Punctuation seems to have gone the way of the dinosaurs. Both of my adult children occasionally give me a bit of a bad time because I still punctuate all my text messages. And along with punctuation, spelling words out in completeness seems to be now considered rather excessive too. Now the cool kids use acronyms instead of phrases. Things like BRB for be right back and IMHO for in my humble opinion. And one which I've actually just learned in the last few months, LFT, which is short for look forward to. LFT may actually have been around for a while, but I seem to only have started noticing it fairly recently, and I suspect that's probably because we're using it more now. As we have been living through this moment in human history, we have discovered how very important it is for us to have things in life to look forward to. And so we're talking about them more. We're appreciating them for what they are, opportunities to lift our spirits. Opportunities to savor some things that are positive and good. These LFT moments give us a chance for at least a little while to once again look forward to what the future might be bringing. When you find yourself living through hard times, whether that's just the hard times that come as part of normal life or something extraordinary like what we're living through now, having something to look forward to can be a really, really important way to attend to your own mental and emotional well-being. Well, the first people who would have heard the words from our reading today would have known this well. They were facing some extraordinarily difficult times when they received this prophetic word through the prophet Jeremiah. For them, this word was much more than just something to look forward to, although it certainly was that. It was a message from God, a message that gave the people something to actually hold on to, something to sustain them through what would end up becoming some of the worst times in their history. During the time of Jeremiah, God's people were living in two kingdoms. In the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Both the north and the south were facing these increasingly dark days. They were beginning to bear the consequences of having had a string of kings who were, for the most part, a pretty unfaithful lot. A significant part of Jeremiah's life and ministry was actually spent calling those kings back to faithfulness and to trust in God, and warning them of the judgment that would come if they didn't change their ways. Well, eventually the things that Jeremiah had warned them about did happen. Israel and Judah fell to the Babylonians, and people were either taken into exile in Babylon or were forced to flee for their lives. It truly was a dark and difficult time for them. But as is God's way, his people were not left alone to face that darkness. While many of Jeremiah's prophecies were of warning and judgment, they weren't all that way. Here in this part of Jeremiah, we start to hear some messages the prophet was given that were meant to bring hope to the people. It was never God's way. It's not in God's nature to leave us in despair. Not then and not now. Ours is a God who actively shines his light into the darkness. We see this over and over again throughout the biblical story. God is always moving, meeting us in the challenges we face and providing ways for us to get through them and on the other side to find a new level of wholeness and life. With God, resurrection really does follow death in many ways and on many levels. Well, our passage for today contains just a few verses from a much larger message in which God promises to bring both restoration and renewal to his people. It was a promise that the dark days that they were facing would end and that God would move to bring life once again. So with that background, with that historical understanding, I want to read to you again these few verses, but this time from the Message translation of the Bible, because I think that version helps us to capture the sense of promise and hope, to capture what people would have felt as they heard these words from God to them. Watch for this. The time is coming, God's decree, when I will keep the promise I made to the families of Israel and Judah. When that time comes, I will make a fresh and true shoot sprout from the David tree. He will run this country honestly and fairly. He will set things right. That's when Judah will be secure and Jerusalem live in safety. The motto for the city will be, God has set things right for us. God was promising to send a Messiah, a leader who would save them and restore them to their land and to Jerusalem in safety. He was promising that all of the oppression and captivity would end and that there would be no more need for them to be afraid. Through this coming king, God was truly going to set things right for them at last. Imagine how they must have felt hearing that promise in a time when life probably seemed very bleak. It would have given God's people some much needed hope. They may have been living in exile, and the life they had known may have been crushed by the Babylonians. But God was saying it would not always be that way. A day was coming when God would sort it out and restore them to the life that he had promised. Now, we know that the people were able to return from exile after 70 years. They rebuilt the city and eventually the temple, and they were once again able to worship and live in the place God had promised them for a while. Some parts of Jeremiah's prophecy came into being when the exile was over, but not all of it. The king God promised in our verses today, a king from the line of David, a king who would go about truly setting things right. Well, that king didn't come until Jesus was born. I was talking with a friend last week, and we were talking about this idea that I shared with you a couple of weeks ago about my sense that this might be our time. The time for us to bear the life and the light and the love that we know in Christ with our neighbors, both our neighbors next door and our neighbors around the globe. My friend said that she is finding that this is a time when the hope that we hold because of Christ seems to be needed more than ever. We face challenges on so many fronts, don't we? Just look at the news. There's far more there to provoke depression and despair than there is to bring hope. And it seems so very rattling. Well, that's what happens when you face a crisis, whatever it might be, whether it's global or personal. We find ourselves feeling disoriented. Our sense of the world and how we think life works gets challenged and sometimes even changed. In a way, we might feel like we have been forced to do life in a strange land where things are not as we once thought they were. And we realize more keenly than ever that despite our very best efforts, we actually can't control much of it. Well, this sense, this disorientation is a big part of what's going on for people right now. And for that, and for many other reasons, I think my very wise friend was right. We have something solid and vital to bring to people at this time. We have the same word of promise and hope that Jeremiah brought. It is a word that isn't just something to look forward to. It is a tangible word of hope and promise. We may not always be able to control what happens to us, but that doesn't mean that no one is in control. Friends, we hold on to some incredible and much needed good news that there is a God, a very, very good God. There is a God who loves this world and loves each and all of us. And this good and loving God has made us some promises. Promises he intends to see fulfilled. Promises to set things right. So hard though we know things are right now, we know God is real. God is still there. And God has not and will not abandon us. And we know that this is not all pie in the sky, simply because the God we believe in, this God we know, has already come to live on this earth in living, breathing human flesh on the night when Jesus was born. Jesus, from the line of David, just as Jeremiah prophesied. Jesus, who came and lived and taught and ministered amongst his people. Jesus, who gave himself to the powers of death, and in so doing, masterfully began what would eventually be the complete disarmament of those same powers. Jesus was and is and will be the fulfillment of the promise that was given through Jeremiah. Since Jesus, God has been setting things right. And that magnificent work of restoration will continue until it's complete. This is our hope. This is the hope we get to carry each day, particularly today, as we move into another Advent season and prepare to celebrate another celebration of Jesus' birth. This is the hope that keeps us going, and it is the hope that we have to share, the hope that God will keep his promise and will finally and truly set all things right. Friends, it's not bad to have something to look forward to. But it is far, far better to have someone to hold on to, someone to hope in. And so we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Praise be to you, God, for all your blessings. We thank you for your gracious love now and continuing for all time. We thank you for your constant support in times of trouble, knowing that we can always walk beside you, sure of your deep and abiding presence. We thank you for the miracle of life and wonder of living. We ask your blessing upon the nations of our world as they grapple with so many difficulties. We pray that they work together to help each other, especially the poorer nations. All peoples of the earth need your guidance to work together to fight and adapt to COVID-19. Please help us to get everyone, everywhere, vaccinated and thoroughly aware of all precautions needed to prevent further spread of this disease. We pray that all nations can work together to fight our growing climate crisis, that you will help all levels of government around the world to recognize the danger we are in,
that you would help all peoples to recognize and love the world you have created, knowing that we have all have to help in any way we can. Today we think of the disaster that has happened in BC and pray for your guidance and support as BC moves forward on so many fronts with so much major repair that is needed in order to re-establish supply lines and assist so many people who have lost so much. We pray deeply for those people and for all the animals who have lost their lives and been extremely scared, hungry, and thirsty. We pray for and recognize your magnificent presence in the helpers, be they provincial workers, city workers, or your multitude of beloved anonymous angels working hard to rebuild, provide for the needy, and equally important, be there to listen and extend their sympathy and love. We pray for Diane and our church leaders as they show us the way forward in our new COVID world, charting a path for our faithful community to follow in your footsteps. In your name we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you again, St. Stephen's, for your faithful giving to the work of the church. Please join me now in praying our prayers over the gifts that have been given this week. Accept, O God, this money offered, these gifts given, the goodwill of our hearts, that disappointment may be turned to hope and worry may be turned to anticipation as we await with wonder the birth of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I have one announcement this week. As you well know, we have people who read our scripture readings each week, both here in the online service and in our in-person worship gatherings on Sundays. And we are looking to expand the ranks of those people. So if you are interested in doing scripture reading in that way for us, in that ministry, we would love to hear from you. There is an announcement in your emailed announcements this week letting you know how to contact Anne Bennett. Anne looks after coordinating all of that for us, and she can answer any questions you might have if you're curious about getting involved in this way. Friends, there is a world out there that is oversupplied with theories and technology, but drastically undersupplied with hope. You, however, are Christ's tomorrow people, those who know that the future is pregnant with promise and hope. So go now and live out the hope you carry graciously and courageously. And may the grace of Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, lead you in the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and then take you on to those tasks and joys which prepare you for the greater glory to come. Amen.